What else but sin engenders our attacks? What else but sin could be the source of guilt, demanding punishment and suffering? And what but sin could be the source of fear, obscuring God's creation, giving love the attributes of fear and of attack? Okay, so let us pray. Father, I would not be insane today. I would not be afraid of love, nor seek for refuge in its opposite. For love can have no opposite. You are the source of everything there is, and everything that is remains with you, and you with it. So, I have a bad habit. I exist in a habit, a ritual of separation, of corruption. I was looking for an answer. As a human, I was looking for an answer. And I reached the point where I couldn't solve the problem. And in that moment, something happened. Now, we can call that surrender if you want, which is the necessity for your enlightenment. The necessity for your enlightenment is not about solving your problem through a continual adjustment, judgment, opinion within the matrix of time and space. The whole teaching is that time and space is an illusion. The whole teaching is that none of this is going to be true. But I'm jumping the gun here a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. All right? The last thing I wanted to do was forgive. We're here in this gathering, in this moment in time, with an idea of forgiveness. Yes? So I was looking through some notes last night, and I came across a sentence. It says, forgiveness. It's a metamorphosis. Forgiveness is a metamorphosis. Ha. Can you start to feel that, don't you? You start to feel that cellularly. It's a metamorphosis to a whole new frequency of conscious awareness. Oh, a complete new reality. A complete new reality. So, Glad, tell me, what does that have to do with my existence within this framework of separation, then?
Nada. absolutely nothing. And that's what I love about it, because it doesn't matter what I do here at all. All I'm interested in is the fabric of life that's beyond time and space. What I want is, and pardon me, but I have to stand up because I'm too excited. I'm so excited to see you guys. I'm so excited to see so many old friends and new friends, old friends newly found, because you are me, and this is a return to a natural way of being, which is what forgiveness is. It actually gives us the key to, is a natural way of being. We're returning to the natural state of mind that we are.
Yes.
And that's an incredible idea. Forgiveness returns us home to who we really are and to the natural action of mind that is the expression of God loving, God including, God expressing himself in the magnitude of what he is. It's extraordinary. It's forgiveness. That's why this is so exciting. That's why this gathering is so exciting. Okay? Now, I found this little section that, because it turned things around a little bit for me in the way I saw it, I thought it would be really useful. And one of the things that we seem to teach here at the Academy, at the Healing Center, and certainly in the Course in Miracles, is that our primary function is what? The relinquishment of our identity.
Yes.
All right. And that identity is literally all of my opinions, all my associations. It's the world I see.
Yes.
I am that. Okay. That's what I see. So let me just see if you can take this reading as a metaphor as to help you remember who you really are. So, just a second. See if I can see this here. So, when any personification of eternal awareness, isn't that a nice expression? That's what we are, in truth, is a personification of eternal awareness, okay? Flows into a form of self-identity, it will optimize creativity and enjoyment during that relationship. In a healthy state, continuity of identity occurs on the level of spirit, not on the level of form. Okay? Your fall from the awareness of your eternal nature into the illusion of separation was not a single event. It was gradual, and it was at first a very subtle process. It began when you chose to retain a specific form of identity after the experience that had molded that identity had passed. So every time as an identity, I would come into a relationship, I would come into an encounter, and I would experience myself differently, right? The problem came when I wanted to hold on to that experience. I wanted to hold on to the past, okay? And I don't care whether we're talking about ourselves as individuals or as consciousnesses or what. It doesn't matter. This is a great metaphor for how this works. How I fell from grace, if you will. Fell from gladness? What? Choosing to bring a past-centered identity into a present experience reduced my sensitivity to the influence of the new moment. Okay? It reduced, that's a great line, reduced my sensitivity to the influences of the new moment. The new relationship could no longer guide my sense of self into identity patterns conducive to optimal interaction. Consequently, my very presence was reduced along with the clarity of my perception. That's great, huh? I quickly found that an identity based on memory of the past had to be consciously sustained, unlike natural healthy identities which formed and dissolved without conscious effort. Okay? That's our natural state. They form and dissolve without natural conscious effort. An arbitrary, past-oriented sense of self-required, of self-required maintenance. Maintenance, sustaining, holding on to the past, tension, holding myself into a tension of myself, okay? You began to think of yourself more as the external form of expression and less as the spirit beyond the expression, okay? I began to give myself an individual identity greater importance than was its due. Uh-oh. I overlooked something vital, right? I forgot that I have the ability to individualize the quality of self perfect for each occasion. Perfect for each occasion. Now I try to manipulate what I think I am instead of letting myself be shown what I am, okay? That's perfect for each occasion. Overriding the natural process through which my sense of self spontaneously flows into organic expression. My presence, though in reality still coming from eternal source, was no longer a clear extension of that source. Yet this was very subtle at first, merely a slight off-center shift of emphasis. And so that slight off-center shift of emphasis is that idea of sin, isn't it? That alignment, the being off the mark, as Derwin would put it, as the Aramaic expression of what sin is. It's being off the mark. It's being focused in the wrong direction. It's being focused in a past identity that I'm carrying with me, that baggage that I'm carrying with me, that I'm trying to manipulate and hold on to, literally through a physical tension in my mind, okay? All right. So we're looking at forgiveness in a total way. That's what this gathering is about. It's not just forgiveness of an act or of something someone's done, whether it's you or somebody else. It's the release of the entire identity that has. That has justified itself in an entire environment, an entire matrix of reference of itself, which is the world I see, right? So my job is to return to a natural condition of the release of my identity in each encounter I have with you, in each encounter I have with my world, in each moment, right?
Yeah, and another way to express all of this, say to me, there is no such thing as an idle thought. So let's look at this for a second in relation to what time and space is. We are in an apparent condition of time and space. Time and space is nothing but the idea that a thought can leave its source, and that thought is idle. Idleness is what death is. It's an objective reality, so to speak. What an amazing idea. And in that formulation, within that formulation of the dark form, it's like I literally cannot recognize my own creative reality. I cannot recognize the power of thought, the power of God that I truly am. My true nature, as you say. I cannot recognize my true nature as long as I continue to restrict. As long as I continue to reduce. And the more that I reduce, the more that I idle, the more that I separate, the more that I exchange.
That's where the idling comes from, is in the exchange, isn't it?
The more I reduce my natural inheritance. Isn't that an amazing idea? The more that I exchange, the more I reduce that power. So welcome to time and space.
Joni,
I have a great section that Dearwin wrote, that he did in a talk in 1997, which was just a moment ago. And it's an exact expression of that condition, the condition of the human condition, that action of contracting and holding on to ourselves, and how that really works. So just take a look at this, because you might recognize yourself in here somewhere, as I certainly did. Okay. The teaching of chapters 2 and 12 of the Course is that the conceptual mind is a projection of its thought form associations with itself. Okay. The conceptual mind is a projection. It's your whole world, by the way. Projection of its thought form associations with itself. It defines a human being. You are taught to observe the objective associations of yourself. That's what you were just saying, Joni, okay? You learn this and correspond to yourself in that human association. The entire teaching, my teaching to you, is that is not what life is. That's not what life is. That's that exchange, that idling of going, of analyzing and examining and comparing your thoughts. It's not what life is. There's a whole nother experience that through forgiveness we can begin to remember as what life is, okay? When you say, I don't want that, and you project it from yourself, what you are really saying is, I want it so I can remember that I don't want it. Isn't that great? Right. Right? Did you hear that? I'll do it once more for you. I don't want that. Now that becomes something he doesn't want. Come on, this is not hard. He now depends on not wanting that in order to know who he is. So that's the identity you're dragging around in you. I am who I am by not wanting to be what you are. That is the only way I know who I am, is by not wanting to be you. Okay? If he didn't want it, why didn't he just forget it and get rid of it? But you keep showing up in my dream, don't you? Over and over again, all right? And thanks for showing up today, by the way. If he forgot it and got rid of it, he wouldn't have anything to base his not wanting it on, okay? But remember, the moment that he doesn't want it, he must have something else that he wants. Since he is basing his reality on something he doesn't want, what he wants must be based on something he doesn't want. Isn't this talk about insanity? Didn't we just talk about sin being insanity? That's what this is about, right? So since he doesn't want it, he has attempted to reject it from his mind. He now compares what he doesn't want to what he does want. Right? and he's literally not doing anything.
Nothing's happening.
Okay? He's simply in an existent association of judgment based on his own objective association with himself. Is he real? Absolutely not. This is not what life is. This is not what life is. Okay? Oops. There is absolutely no reality contained in judging what you want and what you don't want. Isn't that how you spend your day? Making decisions based on what you want and what you don't want? Isn't your entire decision process based on what's comfortable and what's not comfortable? I don't want to be uncomfortable. Wrong answer. You are in a process of nothing happening. It's idling of thought, okay?
The only struggle I ever have is trying to reconcile illusion with truth. That's it. I'm in a continual justification of my self-identity. And yet the whole course is the relinquishment of that self. It's a continual surrender. It's a continual surrender. Continual surrender.
I mean, it's in the review lesson of number 5. I'm constantly justifying my thoughts. It's as early as that in this Course in Miracles. I'm constantly try to have a thought that doesn't justify yourself. Try to have a conceptual thought that doesn't justify yourself. I dare you. All right, it doesn't happen. It's not there, right? All right? So, you know, this is what Joni and I have been talking about, that somewhere this is a course not attempting to make you feel guilty about how impossible a situation that you find yourself in and how distorted your mind works, but somewhere to step into the recognition that there's no solution to this, right? There is no solution to this, except what? To stand and admit that you are that. It is that fear within you to admit that you are the maker of this world. You are the one that's doing this. This, again, is not meant to make you feel guilty, but actually to stand in the frequency where the solution lies. The solution lies in an acceptance. Everybody say to me, I'm wrong. All right? I know you hate to say that word, wrong. Right? But you're not wrong about individual. You're wrong about everything. You're wrong about everything, okay? You're wrong about who you are. That's the most fundamental thing that you're wrong about. The I that's saying I is not who you are. Isn't that amazing?
What you're teaching right now is conversion. We hear that word a lot, conversion, conversion, conversion. I have to be about conversion, 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 right? That occurs, again, only through my responsibility, that I am the cause. I'm the cause of your pain. Yeah. And it's... When I accept my own corruption, the pain, the loss, the suffering, when I accept my own corruption, because I am responsible for the world I see because it's a projection of my own thought form association, of a frequency of light that's occurring in my own mind. The question is, do I take it on? Do I take it on? Key. No. I've already accepted the fact that there's nothing outside my mind by taking responsibility. I don't take on that slow time. I rid myself of it. And that's the metamorphosis. That's the conversion. That's the increase in the frequency of a light factoring. That's where it disappears. And that happens in a twinkling of an eye. Does this take time?
Immediacy of salvation.
It's the immediacy of salvation. It has... This is the teaching of any enlightened mind, if you will. But the key is this. You have to find your own way. You have to do it. I have to do it. I'm not going to fix you. I have to do it. And then you're included in. Naturally. Effortlessly. In the totality of love that we are, with a single source of reality. So we're teaching action of mind, aren't we? We're teaching an action of body-mind, cellularly, emotionally, mindfully, spiritfully. We're not gathered here as a group to talk about, to teach the concepts. We are here to be about an action of mind, a real metamorphosis, cellularly, emotionally, mindfully, and spiritually.
And spiritually. You know, I was reminded of an important lesson the other day, thank you, John, that we can't, we cannot soften or cover up our brother's devastation. That is actually a disservice to do that, all right? Each one of us must come into that moment of no solution, of the impossibility in which we find ourselves. And you will find more and more, if you haven't already, probably some of you are aware of it in the last couple of weeks, how everything seems to get more and more impossible. Yes, this is true. And, and why? Because that is happening faster and faster in your mind. Are you willing to recognize more quickly the impossible place that you find yourself in? And what? If you need a moment of devastation, so be it. Go for it. All right? But it is that acceptance, that standing for one moment in the admission that this cannot be a real place. It cannot be a real experience. Why? Because there's no solution here. There is no solution here. You're in an impossible situation. And it is a reflection of my continuing, what Joni expressed early, bad habit of continuing to see things objectively. That there is, I think there's something outside of myself, right? I think there's a problem that has one potential solution here and one potential solution here. And then I sit and I go through and I compare the solutions in my mind, and neither one of them are going to work.
Neither was true.
All right? Why? Because there is no, They were not an expression of whole, total solution. What's the expression of a total solution? My surrender, my giving up, my releasing of the identity that I brought into that so-called problem. And as the identity is released, the justification for myself, that what we were just reading from Derwin, talking about what I want and what I don't want, is an expression of an identity seeking to define itself, right? Wow. Right? I'm holding on to this and I'm getting rid of that. That is not a whole mind. That is an identity that's bringing itself from the past constantly, right? Right? So this is a new practice, isn't it? It's not just letting go of a single idea, even though that single idea might represent the totality. It's all of it. Yes. It's all of it. I need to let go of all of it. I need to let go of the justification of this, right? Because this is what maintains this dream. This is what maintains this justification of this. It is the letting go of glad and the remembering who I really am. My reunification with the mind of God.
My remembering that there's no sin. My remembering that there's no sin. And that requires a continual alertness, a continual desire. Because, you know, as Derwin would teach, do not underestimate the insidiousness of the human condition. And this is what I personally run into, my own insidiousness to justify this identity of separation as a body identity in a comparison with everything out there. And now what do? This is okay, and that's not okay. Look at the comparison that goes on within that fabrication of mind. The conflict that goes on in comparison of, if you do this, it's okay. If you do that, it's not okay. That's the problem right there, isn't it? That's the falsity right there, isn't it? I can remember a way back when I was actually in Australia teaching. And, you know, you're teaching wholeness and none of this is true and blah, 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 you know. And I just started to feel this, And I got on the phone with Dear One and I said, Dear One, I feel like a fraud. I'm a fraud. And he said, yeah. The whole thing is fraudulent. Literally. And this is where, again, we shorten time by staying right there on that mark, in a continual letting go, in a continual release. Now we can utilize this course, and we can say all together, God does not judge. It's up to me to remember there's no sin. And it's up to me to remember that when I'm under the barrel in my insidiousness of condemnation or whatever it may look like, It's up to me to remember that I'm doing exactly what I want and I'm suffering the consequences of that. I am responsible for the pain and the suffering. And I'm doing it because I want it. Nothing's happening to me. Not ever, not ever, not ever. So this is where we're asked to stand. This is where Jesus says, I'm going to lead you to where you don't want to go.
I like to look sometimes at how I feel when I'm in that moment of self-righteousness. Do you know what point I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that before? Where you're right and the other guy is wrong. And you are so right. Do you feel how hard that is? Literally, there's a density there. There's a hardness, and a lack of allowance. Okay, it's an experience, right? And how many times when you're raging, You project all of that anger onto someone else? Or even when you see someone else raging, whose rage is it? Yeah. You're still experiencing it. All right. Remember, it stems from the very first lesson of the Course. Somewhere we're beginning to undermine our belief in our own perception of what's occurring. That's where the nature of the miracle of the Course is. It's in that for that 1 second, maybe I'm wrong. Am I willing to be wrong in this situation? And I'm Joni and I've had a discussion about the word wrong, but I'm purposely using the word wrong because we hate it so much. Everything we are here as a human being is to avoid being wrong, right? And yet that frequency that we associate with being wrong, that we're afraid to step into. Ready? It's where the solution is. I know this very personally. Yeah. Things are not as you see them. Things are not even as you feel them. There's something else going on. And in your willingness, what? To see something differently. I know you've heard these lessons over and over and over again. But come on, guys, we're stepping into a whole new reference of what these lessons mean. Because now we're looking at the entirety of the self that is being relinquished in my willingness to see differently.
Yeah. And that's fearful. Because the human condition is an idea of loss. So you automatically think, in order to do this, I'm going to lose myself. reminder. You can't escape yourself. You cannot escape yourself. That's impossible. So again, it's a metamorphosis to a completely brand new reality in all ways. So no matter what it appears to look like, no matter how justified you are, no matter how justified I am, I always have to come back to the remembrance that I am mistaken about all of this. It's a mistaken identity in its entirety. If it's not true, what is there to judge? If none of this is going to be true, this is one of the lessons in the workbook, isn't it? Not one thing in this world is true. If not one thing in this world is true, why waste my time in judgment about it? I have to let it go. I have to surrender. Ha. Ha. And you feel that surrender. You feel that surrender because you're no longer idling in your own thought form association in time and space. And that's a release of that constriction. It's a release of that density. It's a release of that fear. I love you.
You know, I look sometimes at what am I doing in my mind that's maintaining this dream, that's continuing this dream, right? Where am I maintaining this? And we look, you know, when we talk about responsibility and what Joni was saying earlier about there's a point in that moment of total devastation, and this is why we can't take it away from you, where you have to literally recognize that you're irrelevant. I know you don't like that, but you are. You're totally irrelevant in this whole process. You know, even the mind training, we spend all the time talking about the mind training, and it's true, but it really is in a particular way just to occupy you for a moment so you can get out of way enough to have this healing occur in you, have the miracle occur in you, all right? To interrupt the tension with which you hold yourself long enough for the light to get in so that the healing can happen. But in order for that to happen, we need another reference, don't we? We need another reference other than our human reference, because that's all we remember. You know, admitting that this is totally corrupt. If we don't allow for another reference, we can get stuck there for a very long time. We can get stuck in our guilt, which is nothing but a continuation of this experience of separation. So we need another reference, which is why we have the Course, which is why we've had the Master Teacher, which is why I have you. You're my other reference. Okay. And it's the fear of letting go into what seems to be unknown. And this is why I want to just give us another reference from the Course, because sometimes we need that, right? Love does not judge. All right. In a particular way, we're releasing into no control of where we find ourselves, right? And that's what seems to be fearful about that. And yet, what is no control but love? It's the non-organization of my thoughts, right? The non-determination of what things are and what's really going on, right? Because as humans, we organize by pain. We organize our thoughts by pain, right? In avoidance of pain, right? And that's how we hold on to it.
I just want to interject one thing before you go to the Course. And that is, the conceptual mind is always looking for a manner in which to do this. We're always looking for a way in which to become enlightened. Tell me how to do this. And there are those religions out there who will say, you must recognize Jesus Christ, or you must recognize so and so. All that is a continual justification for your own self-identity. See how insidious it is? It's amazing. It's really amazing. If there really is only one universal mind, what is it that you need to recognize? Who is it that you need to recognize? The whole Course in Miracles is the teaching of coming into the experience that you are creation itself. The being of you is creation itself. This is this is the Son of God.
So here's that other reference. Are you ready? Love cannot judge. As it is one itself, it looks on all as one. Its meaning lies in oneness, and it must elude the mind that thinks of it as partial or in part. There is no love but God's, and all of love is His. There is no other principle that rules where love is not. Love is a law without opposite. Love is a law without an opposite. Its wholeness is the power holding everything as one. It's power, right? Love is power, and it's the power that holds everything together as one. It doesn't need my power to hold myself together separately, right? Its wholeness is the power holding everything as one. The link between the Father and the Son, which holds them both forever as the same. No Course, whose purpose is to teach you to remember what you really are, so we need another reference of what we really are, okay? Could fail to emphasize that there can never be a difference in what you really are and what love is. Okay? What love is, right? Love's meaning is your own. and shared by God himself. For what you are is what he is. There is no love but his, and what he is everything there is. There is no limit placed upon himself, and so are you unlimited as well. No law the world obeys can help you grasp love's meaning. What the world believes, are you ready for this, was made to hide love's meaning and to keep it dark and secret. There is not one principle the world upholds but violates the truth of what love is and what you are as well. Seek not within the world to find yourself. Like I loose the world from all I thought it was, is the action of forgiveness. Right? It is the action of discovering your new identity. It's simple. You are not who you think you are. Thank God.
So be free. Be free. I will no longer look to the past for my guidance. It's over. Be free. I'm determined. I'm determined to stay in a continual remembrance. How, and this is dear one. The only thing I care about is how you are with yourself in your own mind. It has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else, because there's no such thing as anyone else. And we can go around and around and around on it. But finally, we are gathered in this moment in time, a moment of eternity in time, in that action of mind of unconditional love. Surrender. Be free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. Here we go.
We have a great video for you this morning. And what's spectacular about it is how personal Dear One is himself about his own experience of the metamorphosis that we've been talking about this morning, about the importance of forgiveness as a factor, as the factor in the change of mind, the change of who he knew himself to be, all right? And so So watch it carefully, listen carefully, and track in your mind with the frequency that he's offering you, because this is the frequency of forgiveness, right? It is where the healing is. It isn't about what you say. It's not about what we do, but it's literally the action of our mind that we should be becoming more and more familiar with. This is the training. It's really to increase our awareness of how that action works, all right? So that you can begin to join with yourself in the memory of who you are. So thank you for joining with us today, and have fun forgiving today.
And I'll be loving you always.
And I'll be loving you always.
Loving you.